Nuggets whooped up on the Pistons last night, 134-119. Not exactly the best defensive performance in the history of the world, but nonetheless, the Nuggets won this game and covered the spread. I saw 13.5 on there. So stay away from that bad boy. But they covered it. 134, man, just lighting it up. And this is just in regulation, too. I mean, fourth quarter, they just coasted, which you don't want to see. But, I mean, Denver had this one pretty much figured out. They were down like 13-8 at one point in the first, and then after that, they just went right past him. Joker with a beautiful performance, 27 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds, only had one turnover. No Jamal Murray in this one. Had some knee issues, and he might be out tonight. They play the Spurs, but Michael Porter Jr. is just continues to get better and better. I mean, this guy, Joker's the MVP, but I mean, Porter has been on a roller coaster. That roller coaster is kind of turning into like a steady upwards trajectory now. We're not going up and down. We're not having this. I'm into Jets and roller coaster comparisons today, Colfax. That's where we're going with stuff.
It's all good.
But it's now it's like his defense is there. He's staying focused on what he's supposed to do on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, he's making the right decisions. He's creating the proper spacing that this team needs in order for Joker to flourish. I thought it was a great game offensively, but just ask Coach Malone what he thought. Here's his full thoughts on last night's game where they just absolutely worked the Pistons.
I don't know. We got the win. Our offense played at a high level. Our defense was poor. So, yeah, how was the approach? It was all right. Can be better. You know, we're going to have to defend a hell of a lot better tomorrow night. Gave up 119 points on 54 from the field and 15 made threes. The good things were we had rebounded them by 14. We had 36 assists. So offensively, great night. Defensively, we just traded baskets all night long.
I like that first part, too. I mean, this doesn't sound like a coach that just won his 32nd game this season to climb up. Now they're in fourth place. I love the beginning of this response.
I don't know. We got the win.
From now on, every W the Nuggets get, we're playing that.
I don't know. We got the win.
That's good. I think it's a good sign. You're not happy. You know, you barely, you know, the Orlando Magic game, you had to come back. That's a terrible team. You brought it early against Detroit, but then at the end, you just kind of coasted. You just kind of took it easy there in the second half, especially that fourth quarter. How about Jeremy Grant's decision? I mean, it was cool. It was kind of like the feel-good story tour for the Nuggets the last week. They play Orlando. They get to see Gary again and R.J. Hampton, and it's all good. They play Detroit last night, and it's Mason Plumlee and Jeremy Grant's laughing. Do you think Grant regrets his decision? Now, again, you know Denver basically offered him the same thing that Detroit did and really a championship caliber team, but Jeremy Grant chose because of I guess you call them social justice, I'm not sure, type issues, because of, you know, their Detroit's head coach is a black man and wanting to go play for a black head coach. That's well documented. Do you think Jeremy Grant looks back and goes, wow, I'm on a 15 win team, I am a great player on one of the worst teams in the NBA? When he could have been, I mean, I think that if Jeremy Grant's playing for the Nuggets, they probably don't make that move to get Aaron Gordon. Probably don't. I think, again, this was a perfect move for Denver, but I don't know that they do this if they have Jeremy Grant, because now you're really star-studded. And Grant's an exceptional player. He's doing great, but Aaron Gordon fits this team even better than Grant. So here we go again, Tim Conley, Calvin Booth. This move, although questionable throughout the course of the season, because Jermichael Green wasn't really living up to, okay, the hype that he was supposed to be the replacement for Jeremy Grant. That wasn't really working. So Denver finds a way to get that real replacement and brings in Aaron Gordon, and it has been a beautiful, beautiful pickup for the Nuggets. Grant has to be wondering. I mean, again, I know a lot of you out there would say, there were bigger things at play for Jeremy Grant other than playing on a championship caliber team. But, I mean, this is a sport still, I think. And this is what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It's trying to, you get your money, which he would have got the same amount with Denver, only you got a shot to win a title with the Nuggets. So I would be frustrated if I was Jeremy Grant. Mason Plumlee is one of the better players on that team right now. That's crazy. He's one of the better players for the Pistons.
I thought it was funny seeing him like dunk right off the gate there.
Oh, yeah.
Or like a quick, whatever it was, like a quick layup really early on.
And then your mind goes to, man, I miss Plumlee. And then he does Plumlee stuff. And you're like, okay, I don't miss him as much.
Oh, they got him scoring over there. I like it.
Yeah. No, and Plumlee, listen, Malone loved Plumlee. He loved Grant, too. But Plumlee, I mean, Plumlee was the guy who's like, if I can get about 10 more of them, I'd be doing good. Plumlee had 4 points in this one. So that beautiful dunk was it.
About it.
That was just about it. Grant had 30 points, 29 points. He is killing it. He's absolutely killing it. But they have won 15 basketball games. The Nuggets have now won 32. Joker went to the free throw line twice last night. Porter didn't go at all. Denver went to the free throw line 9 times. 9 times. Really good percentage, though. Gordon was 4 for 4. Barton 1 for 1. Joker 1 for 2. Isn't that nuts? Dozier went to the line twice. So he was 2 for 2. 5 Nuggets. 4 Nuggets went to the free throw line last night. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 Pistons went to the free throw line 20 times. That's absurd. That's crazy to me. Porter's stat line, 25 points, 7 boards. And again, all this was without Jamal Murray. And the Nuggets cover that spread. Porter is coming into his own, Colfax. And it's awesome to see this. And here's Michael Porter Jr. talking about playing and getting better, but also playing with Nikola Jokic.
I definitely think I've improved offensively. I mean, that's the goal, to improve every day. So definitely think I've done that. And I think that Jokic, you know, just he's an amazing player. Me and him have really learned how to play alongside each other, and it's been fun playing with him. But he's an amazing player, one of the best I've ever seen. So,
I mean, it's true. And Porter, I think, is starting to – Porter's realizing that his life can get pretty easy. There was a play last night. It took me back to that strange ending against Washington when Porter didn't cut to the basket and Murray passed it off to Faku and they lost. It's like one of their only losses in the last 20 games. Last night, I believe Faku's at the top of the – maybe it was Morris at the top of the key. They're bringing the ball down. Joker cuts to the free throw line. And before that pass hits Joker, Porter is on the left corner, or up on the left free throw line extended, almost out on the three-point line. Before he sees the ball go into Joker's hands, he's already cutting to the basket. Ball hits Joker's hands. Joker sees out of his peripheral that Porter's cutting to the basket and just does a little lob over his shoulder to Porter for a wide-open layup. That is the kind of thing. I don't know if Gordon's helped with Porter's development there or they're really just starting to click, but it's not just cutting when Joker has the ball. It's a chess move. He saw the move before the move. He saw the pass coming to Joker and goes, "All right, as soon as Joker gets that ball, he's going to be looking and I've got an opening. I've got a step on my defender, so I'm going to the hoop." That's stuff you weren't seeing a month ago. And now you're seeing the Nuggets. I know it's basketball. It's 5-on-5. You think, how complex could a playbook really be? Pretty damn. Pretty damn, because of all the tools that you're starting to see this team open up with. I mean, I like the little 2.5-man game. And what I mean by that is when you have Joker pop up to the free throw line and then you have your ball handler, whoever your point guard is up at the top of the key. And they give the ball to Joker, and your point guard's either going to cut straight down to the basket, he's going to get the hell out of the way, or he's going to roll over to the right to create another pick for Gordon or Porter to come at the top of the key now. And what you're doing is you're creating chaos there. You're putting bodies on people, and then you're suddenly creating mismatches. That's what basketball is when it's at its finest, is creating the mismatch. How do you get this big man off of Joker? How do you get this strong, this quick guard off of Murray? How do you get this excellent forward off of Porter? You're going to create chaos in there. Because when the ball goes to Joker, everybody freaks out defensively. It is really cool to see how they're developing these plays. And even that play was a domino-type play. Morris at the top of the key to Joker at the free throw line. Porter's already cutting from the free throw line extended to the hoop. Before that, there was a specific play. It's Joker at the free throw line. It's and this was the other night, I should say. Jamal Murray's in the game. Quick pass to Joker. Murray cuts to the basket. No opening there. So he cuts away, and he's out of the play now. But then you have Gordon coming in and basically doing the same thing. You're just running it twice in a row with two different players. And then Joker hits Gordon on the second time through. I mean, that's just amazing to see how easy it looks at times offensively. But as if you ask Mike Malone about the defense and about what all this winning does for him, this is his response.
I don't know. We got the win.
I think it's a championship mentality right there. You just beat a team 134-119, but it's not good enough. And it's not. Defensively, it's not good enough. He said, Chris, maybe no referee love for the Nuggets because they know the Nuggets will kick butt, keep the game interesting. Conspiracy, I know. I don't know what it is, but it something's off. I don't know if the referees are annoyed by Nikola Jokic. Joker does complain to the refs. I don't like it, but he does. It's calmed down quite a bit. He's always looking over at the referee all the time, but there's a lot of times it's warranted. Several times last night. He's looking at the ref, and I'm doing the same thing. Like, what are you doing? This is absurd. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301, 970-478-1301. April 22nd, we have our Live United 13 Tenathon. Hooligans, I need you that day. I don't care if it's $1, $5, $10. Tell you what, if you donate $100 to United Way that day, then you're going to be entered to win. And I know you love this. A pair of signed cleats, Terrell Davis style. Terrell Davis signed cleats. Or a signed Broncos helmet by Von Miller. If you donate $100, you're entered to win. And these are local odds. There is a link at our website, 1310kfk.com. And there you can go. And then they're going to be tracking. United Way is going to be tracking who's donating and where what you're putting in. If you put in $100, you're going to have a shot to win one of those items. And we're probably going to have a few more. UNC, I'm talking to the University of Northern Colorado about doing some cool things for that too. So the easiest way I can tell you is go to 1310kfka.com. At the top of that page, there is a giant link there. Click that link and you can get involved. That's how you get involved in the Live United Way 13 Tenathon coming up on April 22nd. Again, it's all day thing, but we keep our shows true to its form. We're still going to be talking sports, but we will be bringing on some representatives from United Way of Weld County to highlight what they're doing. And we have done this every year, save for last year. So, I mean, we need your help more than ever. And United Way helped a lot of businesses, a lot of folks, a lot of people last year and when things were so rough. I mean, they are there all the time, but when really bad stuff happens, COVID situation, all the floods that happened back, 4, 5, 6 years ago, they were there helping people out. And that's what we need. We need to be able to help them now so that they can continue helping this Northern Colorado community. 19 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, Rockies lose. It's a rain delay. We go to extra innings. Marquez had his moments for sure, but the Rockies found a way to lose, and that's ultimately what bad teams do. What does it all mean going forward? We'll talk about that next.
Donate to the Live United 13 Tenathon by texting KFKA, all caps, to 26989. Give up to $100, and you could win a signed pair of Terrell Davis cleats. Thursday, April 22nd. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint, a Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Twenty. 24 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. It is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. And a couple of notes here I wanted to get to. Top 25, under 25, ESPN did a kind of a ranking system for the top NBA or top players under the age of 25, Colfax. Would you guess? So Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. are both under 25. I think Porter's 22. Where do you think they landed in this top 25 under 25? Give me a wild shot in the dark.
I mean, I don't want to sound stupid, but did they make the list?
They made the list.
Okay.
They did make the list.
Okay.
Yeah, but
I'm going to hover around the 20 to 25 range.
So they were a little more generous than that. Okay. They put Jamal at 13.
Okay.
Porter at 14.
Oh.
Luka Doncic is number one. Zion's number two. That makes sense. LaMelo Ball, number three. Donovan Mitchell over Jamal?
I mean, they never should have traded. For
dang it, Colfax. Hey, pick was already gone! I love that. I love Nuggets fans that do that. Never should have traded Donovan Mitchell. Pick was already gone, man.
Gone.
It was already theirs. They already owned it. 14 teams before them could have taken Donovan Mitchell. Devin Booker over Jamal. Okay. Listen, Donovan Mitchell's more consistent than Jamal. At Jamal's best, though, yep. He should be number three on this list. Porter's 14 right behind Jamal, though.
I wonder how that makes Murray feel.
Oh, man. Well, who's got the bigger ceiling?
At this point.
We might be at the best for Jamal, which, hey, I mean, that's not bad. You know, some of his games are amazing. Some of them are meh. But Detroit's a bad team. Nuggets didn't miss a beat without Jamal Murray last night. And I'm not, like, trying to knock him. I actually tweeted he should be way farther up on this list. As much crap as I give him, I still believe that at his best, he should be further up on this list. Now, this was a compiled kind of average by individual rankings from three ESPN NBA analysts, Bobby Marks, Kevin Pelton, and Mike Schmitz. It's kind of interesting when you break this all down and where they're sitting. You got, Brandon Ingram is over Jamal. Ben Simmons? I go Jamal top five, and that's, maybe that's too generous, but on his best days, yeah, he's there. On Jamal's best days, he's right there with Luka, honestly. If I got Jamal Murray, best, you know, the Blue Arrow version of Jamal Murray, we'll just call him that, I'd take him over Luka. People think that's crazy. But because we know Jamal's average can be average too, if I were to pick today, yeah, I'm taking Luka because I know Luka's going to bring it every night. If Jamal doesn't bring it sometimes, he's a very average basketball player. Someone told me that that's me describing everybody in the league, by the way. No, it's not. Luka doesn't do that. Joker doesn't do that. He brings it every single night. And you know who else is starting to bring it every single night? Is Michael Porter Jr. The days of saying, "Oh, Michael, where was he tonight?" I mean, they're going away. You got a mega star right there. We saw it athletically. I mean, even we said it last year. It's like when he scores, it just looks so easy. Like he doesn't even try. And that's how it looks still on offense. Now, defensively, we said it. If he could just be even slightly below average, this player is going to be ridiculously good. I mean, look at his last few games. Even let's go like the last six games. Look at these point totals, Colfax. Go way back, man. I mean, since March 15th, let me just roll these off here. Since March 15th, 20 points, 28, 19, 17, 18, 19, 25, 15, 27, 20, 21, 25. I mean, he's 22. He's still not the number two weapon on this team. It's still Jamal Murray. But he's getting that much production. Oh, and by the way, those other things I talk about, the other stats since March 15th. 8, 13, 6, 9, 7, 8, 5, 10, 12, 4, 12, 7. Those are big numbers. Are they superstar numbers? Are they all-star numbers? No. These are not the numbers that Jamal Murray was putting up, though, his second year in the league. You have an incredible talent. You have an incredible big three right now, and then you add in Aaron Gordon, and I don't know, what do you want to call it, a big four? Tweeted this in jest. The Nuggets are undefeated in the Gary Clark era. Gary Clark was thrown in that Aaron Gordon trade. They're undefeated since Aaron Gordon's been on this team. Defensively, that was their worst night defensively. I think that's the NBA for you sometimes. Sometimes you see teams, when they score with such ease and it's just clicking like that, it's really hard to go back and want to play defense. I know that's a stupid excuse, but you were destroying them offensively. I mean, it felt like every time down the floor, magic was about to happen. It was good. And again, you have a lot of talent on this team. Will it be good enough? Will it be good enough? I don't know. Humble Gary, this is interesting. Jokic has a very unusual style of play for a big man. He hasn't officiated well because the refs, like us, don't really have experience with a guy like that. We'll definitely get better with time. That's a pretty damn good point. He does play a lot. You know, James Harden, when he goes to the rim, he knows how to work his frame into a defender. He knows how to get contact. Joker does not play this game to get contact. He plays this game to score. He is going to the rim. Guys are trying to defend him by any means necessary, and it is kind of, I don't want to say goofy, it's just a strange style. That little Serbian shuffle that he does. I mean, there's a lot of really unique things. There was one time, it looks like he's trying to underpass it to Jordan or to Porter Jr. Jordan, a little Freudian slip there, maybe. He's trying to like underhand a pass, and he loses it, and then he just like tips it four times and then just tips it up in the air and it goes into the basket. I heard Scott on the call. He's like, how does that even happen? But Joe, how many times does Joker just do weird things? Like, he'll just do this spin that's very slow, and then suddenly he's already at the basket and he dunks it. Nobody knows what happened. He's a very interesting guy to guard, and maybe that could be a positive way of thinking, you know, about Joker's not getting the foul calls. It's an interesting take. Green Acre says, you'd think because Jokic plays in slow motion, the refs would be able to see the fouls more clearly. But then again, maybe because he's playing so slow, it doesn't look as malicious. There was a call the other day that I thought reverse of that. I thought he got hit in the face just by the way he shot the ball because his head was so far back and he makes it. I thought, well, he must have got hit in the face and then slow motion and he wasn't. He just has such an interesting style of play that I wonder if that is the problem. Did you see the ref the other day though, against Orlando? Joker runs up to him to like complain about a non-call. And the ref like, yeah, flinches. He flinched and like cowered a little bit. He's like, ah, don't hurt me. I'm sorry. Sorry, big man. Like, they didn't get mad at him, but Joker just like approached him. He's like, ah. It's just like, are you kidding? And Ross, the guy he like slapped, turned around like, you know, he's pissed at first. He gets slapped on the arm. He turns around. Joker, he's like, what was that about, man, buddy? Why'd you do that, partner? If that would have been anybody else, it'd be like, hey, it's time to throw down. But instead, it's like, hey, man, that kind of hurt. Joker's getting the respect. He is starting to. I do think that it is strange. Those are both great points from Green Acres and Humble Gary. First Advantage text line. 970-478-1301, 970-478-1301. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Who would you rather see a starting quarterback next year? Drew Lock, Gardner Minshew, Nick Foles, Teddy Bridgewater, or 2021 draft pick? Wanted to get more to this story, too. The top 25 predictions. We talked about this yesterday. And, man, this is pretty big time for Colorado State, isn't it? I mean, Jeff, who was this? Who put this out of ESPN? I had the name written down. Oh, Jeff Brazello put it out. Okay. His prediction is way too early prediction for top 25. I talked about this a bit yesterday, but he has the Colorado State Rams at 21 behind teams like Oregon. Kentucky, North Carolina, Michigan, all these teams, Arizona. Well, be interesting to see what Arizona does now without their head coach. Syracuse. I mean, these Duke making the bounce back. Colorado State getting some mad respect. It's one of those things that it's kind of like watching Trevor Story, Colfax. Every great thing Story does, I just go, yeah, but he's not going to be here long. I'm doing that with Nico Medved, and I have a pretty good relationship with Coach Medved. I really do. I just want to shoot him a late night text and be like, hey, don't ever leave, man. And I feel like that would cross the line. Don't you think? That would be like a little too creepy. maybe Hulligan's Rams fans can start tweeting at him. Don't leave. Hashtag don't leave. I mean, come on. As much as I think I'd love for the Sonny Lubick thing to happen for Nico Medved, I don't know. Does it happen? Green Acres, one of our diehard Rams fans. Do you really think Nico's going to stick around?
He loves Fort Collins.
Is that enough?
It's enough if you believe hard enough.
That's what they said about Jim McElwain, too, though.
Yeah.
Although he didn't have the history first with Colorado State. And, you know, Medved, I mean, he does seem kind of like his characteristic, like his mannerisms, the kind of guy he is. I could totally see it make sense for him to say, hey, I'm going to make great money here. It's a very Fort Collins is small compared to a lot of these big names we're talking about. And, you know, the Minnesota job scared me, but that's all well and done now. So, yeah, it's nobody from the Mountain West is going there. And then you want to be careful, too. I mean, look what happened with McElwain. He leaves and goes to Florida for greener pastures, and it doesn't work out there. And, you know, it's been hard for him to bounce back to get to that status again. You want to be careful. And, again, this is basketball we're talking about. Football, all right, CSU is a stepping stone job. There is no doubt about it. UNC is a stepping stone to the stepping stone job. But when you talk about basketball, for the most part, everybody's got a shot. I mean, you realistically have a shot. Look at all the upsets that happen. Look at all these teams that you don't talk about on a regular basis that were going to this. I mean, could the biggest dreams at CSU, could they really be to win a national championship? Probably no, but certainly get to a Sweet 16. If CSU made it to the Sweet 16, you know how huge that would be. But then again, I mean, nobody really predicted Baylor just stomping Gonzaga like that. I mean, it was Gonzaga's a four and a half point favorite. And look at Gonzaga. Look what has happened there. Small conference, small school, and doing great things. I mean, they made history. Even though they didn't complete it and win the title, they made history. It's a phenomenal program. It's always going dancing. So could Coach Medved create something like that? I hope so. First off, personally, he's great for the show. I mean, I interview a lot of coaches on this show, Colfax. I'm trying not to be too biased because they're all really good, but he's definitely one of my favorites. I mean, you love having him on. He's like a good dude.
The nicest of guys.
He is. You know, I gave him on the air one time. I'm like, dude, you're like the nicest guy in the world. I don't think he liked it because he's like, well, my players don't think so. But he can flip that switch,
yeah,
too.
Which is important.
Which is extremely important. Which is why his players like him. They respect him. They can have that fear. But also, he's a great guy. You know, 2 years ago when we got to go to like their first practice and they were doing pictures and all that stuff, I mean, he's messing with guys. They love that. He's a tremendous coach. You have a gem, Colorado State. You should be tweeting at him, at Nico Medved every day, saying, hey, just a quick thinking of you, coach. Just a quick, hey, man, you're awesome. 21, though. I don't know. I tweeted last year, one of our poll questions was, does this Colorado State team have the chance of being the greatest Rams team in history as far as basketball goes? And no, they didn't achieve that goal this year. They are one of the great teams, I would say. Next year, might have that team, that group. You know, they have a few things that they need to get better, and they kind of struggled. Depending on the games, they had the best offense in conference play, but they struggled on that side of the floor you know, defensively, maybe just couldn't pick it up when they needed to. But they had some great moments defensively, too. It was just kind of a weird end for them, I would say. But, hey, I don't know about top 25. But I definitely think the group of, you know, Kendall Moore, Isaiah Stevens, Adam Thistlewood, and, of course, David Roddy, James Moores, who I think might take another step next year for sure. 40 minutes after the hour. Got to take a short break. When we come back, we can talk about the Rockies. I know. We got to talk about it. We got to hit it. It's a long, long game just to end in a loss. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Some more national recognition for Colorado State here. ESPN put out their most explosive college football players of 2021, and they have scariest pass rushers, Scott Patchen. Is that right? Number one? The nation's scariest pass rusher is Scott Patchen for the Colorado State Rams. And Kelly told us earlier, Kelly Lyle, who we'll talk to tomorrow, said he thinks this defensive line could be the best in the conference. Maybe one of the top defensive line units in all of college football. But Scott Patchen getting ESPN's most explosive college football player of 2021 kind of watch list, I guess. I don't know. I think it's just a fun thing. Of course, Trey McBride, number three as the most explosive tight end. So you got some studs there. CSU has some studs. And both of these guys, even though, you know, they're not necessarily Adazio's guys, but they both are committed to Adazio. These are the kind of guys he wants. This is how he wants to build his program. Tough-nosed defensive linemen, monster guys, explosive, scary pass rushers, tight end game. You know, this is going to be, look out, Trey McBride's probably going to have an even better year next year. You know, he's probably going to, he might even break some records, some tight end records. Maybe some receiving records. Because I do think CSU, you know, you talk about wide receiver, maybe they drift away from that a little bit, although Dante Wright's still there. But it's going to be run, and utilize the tight end. And that's going to be, you know, that's going to be some Todd Senteo, that's going to be his best friend. Is getting the football to his monster tight ends. Colorado State getting some more national recognition there. 47 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. We'll get Bud Black's thoughts on Germán Márquez and his performance, and really just how this team has to be overall, no longer in that mode of relying on one or two guys. This has to be a spread-out team, and maybe they just don't have the weapons, as we've all kind of been talking about for a while. It's going to be a long season. 47 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. That's your call. It never paid to be
merciful. Come heavy or don't come at all. You're listening to The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. It's a party in Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my buddy Brady Hall on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes until the top of the hour. Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Rockies now 1-4 on the season, losing to the Diamondbacks, who are probably going to be a bad team as well. Yeah, this was a game that was delayed by rain, and then we go to extra innings. It was also a hell of a game when you look at what Ryan McMahon did. Ryan McMahon was just a monster. He had three home runs. I mean, he had the solo shot early and then just didn't stop. but the Rockies lose 10-8 in 13. Here's Bud Black. I tell you what, Marquez needed a bounce-back type game. He went six innings, started to fall apart in that sixth inning, but for the most part, he looked much better, had a much better control than what we saw on opening day. Here's Bud Black on Marquez.
Yeah, his stuff was good tonight for sure, Adam. I think the fastball had, solid velocity. He made some good pitches down in the zone. Slider was effective. I thought he pitched really well. He was efficient. Some quick innings through the first four, his pitch count was down. He did, sort of the opposite of what he did his opening day start.
Yeah, and I think that they can build around him, I suppose. But when we talk about building around, what do you really expect this Rockies team to do right now? Just kind of coast and try hard. Here's Bud Black on really how this team needs to be. And, they can't really rely on just Trevor Story alone. They're going to have to get the Ry McMahons and the Ramel Tapias really rolling.
It's going to take all guys in the lineup to, to play with their capabilities over the long haul for us to be the offense we want to be. It was a tough night for Trev, Chuck, and Crone tonight at the middle of the order, like you mentioned. But, it was good to see Mac have a big game, and, Sam had a big home run. Nunez had a big home run. Hampson had a couple productive at-bats. Tapp was a little bit light tonight. But, on a given night, for us to score runs and be the offense we want to be, it's going to take a number of guys. Having a successful ball game, successful weeks, nice runs of at-bats. You just can't rely on, Trevor and Chuck and, potentially Crone. Everybody's got to contribute.
And I don't know if they have the group to do that. I just don't know if they do. Tough loss for the Rockies. They're going at it again tonight against the Diamondbacks. That will be on 1310 KFKA. Coverage starts around 6 o'clock with the first pitch at 6:40. So we'll have about half of our KFKA block party that we put together for you. And then we'll jump over to this game. We'll see if the Rocks can bounce back. I'm not going to do this every day. Don't worry. We're not going to go delve too deeply into the Rockies unless they give us a reason to. And, other than the All-Star game, not a lot to talk about with the Colorado Rockies. All right, that's going to do it for us. It'll be we'll get to a big Thursday tomorrow. I'll get my Thursday night special. Killed it last week. Undefeated in the month of April? Yeah, there we go. We look to keep that going on another big Thursday. Nuggets tonight against the Spurs on a back-to-back. So we'll see if the Mile High crew can keep it going. Good night, Northern Colorado.